thought about just chunking my outline tonight and just say God's been good about 10,000 times. Appreciate that good singing tonight. Thank you, Brother Todd. God has been good, hasn't he? Sometimes when you have nothing better to do, and probably you couldn't find anything better to do anyway, but why don't you run that little phrase down in your Bible, the Lord is good. Yeah. Just run that. That'll give you a good little study right there. The Lord is good. And oftentimes you'll find that followed up by, and his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Yes, I'm glad we serve a good God, but I'm glad we serve a merciful God. Amen. Yes, glad I didn't get what I deserve. Yes, aren't you? Yes, glad I got mercy. Amen. Yes, take your Bible and turn with me to Psalms 126. We just preached from there a couple of week or so ago. I can't remember how long it was. But I want to look at a couple of verses tonight and try to get us ready for this Saturday. I told Brother Freddie as we came in tonight, I'm excited about this weekend. I truly am. I'm excited about everybody getting together and us having gravy and biscuits. Or I don't know exactly what we're having, but it'll be good. Amen. And I'm looking forward to a meal together. I'm looking forward to piling up on about four buses and going in different directions. I came down Ridge Road yesterday and I thought, my, if these people knew what were coming on Saturday, they'd all go on vacation, amen? If they just had any idea what was coming their way. And Lord, give us mercy and give us grace. And Lord, give us a kind spirit as we go, amen? I'm excited about knocking on doors, but I'm excited about meeting somebody. Amen. Do you know God knows how to put you in just the right place at just the right time? Amen. I believe somebody Saturday has a divine appointment with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We're sitting here tonight and we're going to pray, and we've got the prayer sheet and we'll have altar prayer here in just a little bit, and we're going to pray for this Saturday, and Miss Felicia's preparing for the food for this Saturday. We've got, I don't know how many of these little handouts that we had printed up. We've got a slew of those. We've bought 10,000 tracts, but you know, while we've been preparing on our end, God's working on his end. Now say it again, while we've been working hard on our end, we've went and we've mapped out the area. We know where we're going, but I'm glad to say he's already been there. Amen. So we're going to trust as we go on Saturday morning that the Holy Ghost would go before us and prepare the hearts of the people, amen, that we'll speak to on Saturday. Psalms 126, I love this scripture. I preached from it several times. The Bible said in verse number 5, they that sow in, say the word with me, tears shall reap in what?
Joy.
In other words, you know what sowing and reaping is, don't you? We have that Galatians chapter number 5, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We understand that. Sowing and reaping means planting and picking. Is that right? Sowing and reaping, that translates to us, to country boys, planting and picking. There's a time to plant in the spring, and come near the end of summer, there's a time to pluck off what you planted. Now, I like what he said. He said, if we'll sow tears, if we'll plant tears, we're going to pick joy. If we'll plant tears, we're going to pick joy. If we'll sow tears, we will reap joy. He said, he that goeth forth, and there it is again, say it with me, weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Wow, let's look at those verses again tonight. Probably two of the greatest soul-winning verses in the Bible. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now listen to me carefully. I don't know about you, but I like joy. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I like joy. I don't care nothing about depression. Amen. Amen. I don't care anything about having your nerves on end and stress and all that. I like joy. I like having a good time. That's why I sat right there in that chair during church and I clap my hands and I say amen. Yeah.
Amen. I like having a good time. I'm going to have a good time whether I'm deer hunting, whether I'm in church, whether no matter where I'm at, I'm going to do my best to have fun. Amen. I like joy. And to have more joy, I've got to do what God made me to do. And you've got to do what God made you to do. How many times have you ever been to a church and you sat through the service and thought, my God, these people are miserable? Have you been there? I'm talking about they look like a bunch of corpses. If you called the ambulance and said somebody died in church, they'd tote half the people out before they got the right one. I preach revival meetings all over the country and people just sit there like it. No joy, no happiness, ain't nothing but a fight and a fuss down at the house of God. You know what's wrong with that? Hey, they ain't telling people about Jesus. That's what's wrong with them churches. They're not fulfilling the Great Commission. They're not doing what God made them to do. Amen. Amen. Some churches have, I've mentioned this before, but we have certain directions, and we met several years ago with a builder, and we was talking about planning and doing a new building project and all that, and the fellow said, what kind of church do you have? I said, what do you mean? I said, it's a Baptist church. He said, yeah, but you know, they come in all shape. I said, okay, we're independent, fundamental Baptist church. He said, well, what's your ministry centered around? I said, I don't understand what you're asking, sir. He said, do you have a big drama ministry? I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm about as much drama as most folks can handle, amen? And he wanted to know if we needed a stage that went up and down and flashing lights and smoke and all that. I said, no, we're a soul-winning church. That's what we are. We're a church that believes that in the Great Commission and going and telling other people what Jesus did. Amen. You know why we have so much fun in here? You know why it's so good around here? Oh, just like Sunday when that little bus kid's daddy, Alex, walked in 3/4 of the way through the service. It was almost over. They heard we were having a cookout for their kids. So mom and daddy came. I believe they're off Brother Joe's bus. Is that right? Old daddy come in. Had dreadlocks down to here. Yeah. Or cornrows, I don't know what you call them. Somebody help me on the vernacular there. Dreadlocks, is that what it was? Dreadlocks. I mean, all the way down to there, boy. And he come in, right, I mean, almost time for the visit, invitation, Brother Charles, and got right back there about where Joe and Chrissy's at, and boy, I started giving the invitation. Big old tears run down his face. I said, if you're here this morning, you don't know if you died today, heaven would be your home, would you raise your hand? He shot both hands up in the air just like that. I said, my, business is picking up, amen. Yeah, we had a visitor come in Sunday morning, been visiting for several months, hadn't joined the church. They brought a visitor with them and the visitor got saved. Woo, I like that. What's that mean? That means good times down at the house of God, amen. Amen. I'd hate to be in a church where nobody ever got saved. Let me just rephrase that. I wouldn't be in a church where nobody ever got saved. How much fun is that? Amen. If you're in a church where nobody's ever saved, something's wrong. Amen. Our good friends, Brother Eric and Sister Stacy down in Texas, they were here for a long time, principal of our school and our youth pastor. They've been to every doctor they can find to find out why they cannot have a child. As they try and try and try and try, but yet still no baby. They go to the doctor after doctor. Why do they keep going to doctors? Because they know something's wrong. They know something's wrong. They know the natural thing for a man and a woman who comes together as a husband and a wife is to produce children. Amen? And the natural thing for a New Testament Bible-believing church is to produce more Christians. Amen? And when we're not producing more Christians, when babies aren't being born around here, hey, we better see the doctor. Amen? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. But I'm glad I'm in a church. I don't remember. A month. I'm trying to think if I can even remember a week where we haven't seen somebody get saved. Isn't that a blessing? And y'all take that for granted. I wish I could pack you up and take you to some of these places I go with me. leave you there for about 6 months, and then bring you home, and you'd kiss the ground when you got out in the parking lot out there. It'd thrill you to death to be able to sit in a church where God's moving, where God's alive, where God's not dead, amen, and where people walk the aisle and give their heart to Jesus Christ. It would tickle you to death.
Amen.
You just don't know what you're a part of. You don't know how God has blessed you to be around what you get to be around week after week after week. I go to some places and I fly in on Monday and the pastor will pick me up and say, how was your day? Oh, we had five saved. Just five? I mean, sometimes it's almost like you hate to tell it, because they ain't going to believe you. It seems like it'd go better if, well, we're just getting along. How was your day yesterday? Oh, we split. Half the church got mad. They tried to vote me out, and 30 of them got up and left. That's more the norm, isn't it? Come on, y'all, talk to me tonight. That's more the norm. But people just don't expect it. When they say, how was your day in church? I say, oh, we had this and this many saved. And we had two adults in the adult service. We had four or five kids in the junior church, got saved and born again. We baptized this. I went somewhere several months ago after we had that big baptizing. What I baptized, Vanessa? 42? 48? 42? Somewhere. 40-something. I baptized 40-something people one Sunday night. I got on a plane the next morning, flew somewhere, I forgot now, and the preacher said, how was your day yesterday? I said, I baptized 40-something people. He said, my soul. He said, what are you doing up here with me? That's what he said. He said, I baptized 40-something people. We're having revival. You know what I thought? Maybe we are, and we just don't even know it. Maybe we are and we just don't even know it. Let's look at these verses just for a second tonight, and I'll get you out of here. I'll try to get done before the kids do. I want you to notice several things, and I hadn't preached on soul winning in a while. We just do it, amen? But tonight I'm going to preach on soul winning. Did you know every Christian ought to be a soul winner? Amen? Let me say it again. Every Christian ought to be a soul winner. Some are better at it than others. I believe some have a calling. I believe it's a gift. How many of you remember Brother James Bailey over in Alabama? One of our bus kids' daddies. Sister Barbara Baker nagged him into coming to church. And trust me, she can nag. Amen. Nagged him. Beat on that man's door every Saturday. I mean, double dog dared him to come to church. He came one Sunday, him and his wife. They came back the next Sunday. Both of them got saved. God called him to preach, and he's the soul winningest machine I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he'll call me on the phone and he'll say, Brother Eddie, I went by Walmart today, had eight people saved. Well, hallelujah. Yeah. Now, some people could tell me that and I'd say, yeah, right. But I've been soul winning with James Bailey. Yeah, he's not a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. I mean, brother, he'll get him up a little congregation. I forgot who it was he was talking to the other day. It might have been Brother Shane. Somebody he was telling said before he realized it, he was shopping with his wife. And he had a whole little crowd gathered up. He said, and I didn't even realize it. He said, I was leading people to the Lord in the women's underwear. Oh, yeah. Who was it he told that? I can't remember who it was. But he's a soul winner, and God's given him a gift. Yeah. Amen. Now, we may not all be gifted like Brother James to lead men to the Lord in the women's underwear. I mean, you know, that's a gift. Amen? We may not all be able to do that, but we all are commanded to be soul winners. Just because you're not as good at it as Brother Charles or Brother Freddie or some other, that does not mean you're not supposed to make the effort. I'll be honest with you. Personally, I think I'm a horrible soul winner. Boy, it got quiet there, didn't it? You don't have to say amen, but I really do. I'm not. You know what I do is I witness to people. I pray that God will send. If I can't get them, Lord, let somebody else get them. Did you know I get just as thrilled over Brother Freddie leading somebody to the Lord as I do when I lead somebody to the Lord? They went over the other Sunday night and saw Sister Lisa's grandmother who just went to heaven. I mean, boy, one of her greatest prayer requests was all her children to be saved. And everybody was but one daughter. Is that right, Brother Daniel? And they went over there and visited with Sister Lisa's grandmother. And before they left, that one unsaved daughter trusted Christ as her Savior. Brother Freddie told me about that, and man, we just rejoiced over the phone together. I hung up the phone and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 10,000 times, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That little old lady can close her eyes now and die in peace, knowing all her children will be in heaven. Woo! Goes right there. We're all commanded to be soul winners. Some are better than others. Amen. If you're not that good a soul winner, pray for those that are. Amen. Every church ought to be a soul-winning church. There ought to be more outreach than there is inreach. Church has got more programs than you can shake a stick at. Some churches spend more time with a women's weight loss program than they do. Hey, I'm not against these extracurricular things. I'm not against that. I'm not against us getting together and playing softball. I'm not against that. Amen. I'm not against a cookout at Miss Legina's on Saturday. That could be dangerous, but I'm not against it. I'm not against that. It's better than having it at Brother Daniel's. You go over and see Gomez, he liable to cook a cow tongue. Oh, yeah. My wife will say amen right there. I'm not against that. I'm not against the men getting together every spring and going trout fishing. I'm against the boys biting the fish heads off, but I'm not against the going fishing. They did. But when that's all we do is fellowship and play, and we cease to reach out and tell others of Jesus and His love, we have failed at being a New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church. Amen? If McDonald's stops selling Big Macs, they'll take away their franchise. Big Macs and Happy Meals is what makes them McDonald's. Soul winning and Bible preaching is what makes us a New Testament Baptist church. Amen? Let's look at several things right quick, and I got to hurry. Let's notice the go in soul winning. The go in soul winning. I'm not against mass mailing. I get stuff in the mail every week from some church. This church down here at Mirror Lake, I don't know how many times. How many times I've got stuff in the mail from them. You get the stuff they send in the mail and you would think it's a 10,000 seat auditorium. They ain't even got a building. They're working on it. They're putting up tents. I'm serious, that's what they look like. They look like tents. But they send stuff in the mail all the time. They do bulk mailing. I'm not against bulk mailing, but it will never replace eyeball to eyeball. Never. Hey, we bulk mailed. We put stuff in people's mailbox. We got people in our church that every time they get a bill in the mail, they send it back with a track in it. And I hope a check for what they owe. Amen. I'm not against that. But it will never replace getting up off our backside and going. Amen. Let's look at the scripture in verse number 5. The Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that what? Say it next two words with me. Goeth where? Forth. That means we got to get up and we got to go out of here. Back in our old building, when you walked out of the sanctuary and through the doors to go outside, does anybody remember the sign that was over the door? Anybody? Nobody. It said, you're now entering the mission field. You're now entering the mission field. We think of mission field and we think of missionary work as being down in Belize or over in Russia or down in Mexico where Brother Robbie's going in. And we think about all these other different places. Hey, let me tell you something. Billerica, Georgia is a great mission field. There are lost people. Hey, Brother Daniel is starting the Spanish ministry. They're going to visit for that Saturday. We drove by Fullerville Ball Field Sunday. I know there was 200 Spanish-speaking people out there playing soccer. Amen. There's a need. Amen. But for it to work, we've got to go. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 15, we have the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's going to be hard to do without going. It's going to be hard to do without going. I was thrilled, and I'm not scolding you tonight. I thank God for this church. for its work and what it does. We were planning the events for this Saturday. We were praying about where to go, and Brother Freddie made a statement that stuck with me. He said, looking at the map of Villarica, he said, we've hit everything here several times. I thought, what a blessing. We've hit everything here. You know what he meant? Houses, subdivisions. We've been in them all several times, over and over and over again. He said, maybe we could go down to New Georgia and go down Ridge Road. And I thought, man, that'd be awesome. You know what we're doing? We started around the church and we worked out this way. And it's going further. But you know what? Somebody had to go.
Amen.
Amen. The church has got to go. The church has got to go. Matthew 28 and verse 9 or 19. The Bible said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go. Are you ready to go? I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I don't care what I had happening on Saturday. I'd cancel it. I would. You say, what if I didn't sign up? Can I still come? You sure can. Amen. Hey, you know what I believe? I believe with all my heart God will bless our going. I believe He will. He always does. Do you know 9 times out of 10, the people that we knock on their doors, they never come? They never do. But God sends somebody. Brother Tom, can you remember a Sunday we did not have a first-time visitor? I can't either. God sends people into this place week in and week out and week in. Why do those visitors keep coming? Because we keep going. Because we keep going. I don't get disappointed when the people that I knock on their doors don't come. I just thank God for the ones He sends. Amen. And by the way, I'm not saying it's always that way. We have seen them come. We've seen them come from the Gold Rush Parade. We've seen them come from the big visitations. Where's Miss Jeannie at? There she is. Wave at me, hon. Right there. The first one of these big pushes. Well, now we visit every Saturday. But the first one of these big pushes we ever did, it was a Christmas celebration. Y'all remember that? Tommy and Sheila Mann knocked on Greg and Jeannie's door. As far as I know, out of that whole, I forgot how many houses we hit that time. Probably about 500. Out of 500 houses, we got one family. Hang on. Hang on. Brother Greg, since you started working on that bus route, how many have you seen saved?
On our bus, 15 or 16.
15 or 16?
Yeah.
Y'all on the same page with me? Out of 500 houses, we only got one family. But that one family has gone back out and done exactly what we did to them and told somebody else about Jesus. And 15 or 20 have gotten saved as a result of it. Hallelujah. I'll take that anytime. Amen. You know what I'm praying? We're going to hit 500 doors Saturday. We got to go. You know what I'm praying? God, give us another Greg and Jenny Martin. Give us another family like that. Give us somebody else that'll fall in love with little boys and girls. Give us somebody else that'll be so thankful for what you've done for them. They won't be able to help but tell somebody else, hey man, but we gotta go.
Amen.
Amen. You say, preacher, I want to go, but I'm nervous. I am too. But I'm going.
Amen.
I'm nervous when I go to the doctor. But if I'm sick, I gotta go. Amen. It's okay. We ought to be a little nervous about it. Amen. We ought to be a little nervous about it.
Amen.
He said, preacher, I just can't talk to people. We'll send you somebody who can. I'll let you go with mama. You won't have to open your mouth. Amen. I'll let my mother be your soul winning partner. All you'll be able to do is sit there and go like that. Nod your head. Amen. The go in soul winning. But we need to couple the go in soul winning with a broken heart. He said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. When I was little, growing up in White Oak Springs, I used to hear people in the altar praying for lost people. And they would weep. You could hear a mother in the altar saying, oh God, please save my boy. You could hear, you didn't have to wonder what they were praying. You could have heard them a mile down the road. We've lost that in America. We've lost that in America. The only time we weep on the altar is when we get a bad report from a doctor, when the doctor says it doesn't look good or it's cancer or the child's got this or the child's got that. Then it's crocodile tears everywhere. But what about when our health is okay? What about when our finances are okay? But our neighbors are dying and going to hell. We got to get back to the place where we can shed tears over people who need a Savior. Amen. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds.
Amen.
The best fertilizer for sowing the seed of the gospel is the tears of God's children.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paul told him in Acts chapter number 20 he had been weeping for. He said, man, I've ceased not to warn you and to weep for you. Amen. How long has it been since you wept over somebody? I wonder, could we get in this altar tonight and actually shed a tear over somebody we've never seen? I won't never forget the Sunday morning when Greg and Jenny Martin walked in here. And Tommy and Sheila Mann sat right there behind where Cora's at. And Sheila just clapped her hand. You know what that was? That was that joy.
Yeah.
Somebody they went after actually came.
Yeah.
They didn't just come, they stuck.
Amen.
Can't run them off. I've tried. You can't get rid of them. They ain't going nowhere. What a blessing, man.
Amen.
We got to get back to where we not only go, but we got to get back to the place where we can weep again.
Amen.
We got to get back to the place where we can weep again. Why don't you ask God to put you face to face with somebody Saturday that you can weep for?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The go and so winning. He that goeth forth. The broken heart. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Then there's the seed of soul winning. Barren, precious seed. It would be different if I were asking you to go out and sell Kirby vacuum cleaners. It would be different if I were asking you to go out and sell something that wasn't worth the price you were asking for. But we're not asking that. We've got the right thing. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. What is that precious seed? It's the Word of God. Remember the song the kids used to sing? The Word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered all around. Some in the road, some in the weeds. But everywhere you look, you find little bitty seeds. Amen.
Yeah.
That book still works.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, it still will get the job done. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
Why do y'all put so much emphasis on those gospel tracts? Because it works. It works. Somebody said, why do we spend so much money on those gospel tracts? They work.
Amen.
Amen. We've actually tested this stuff out. I mean, we've actually experimented. We've handed people a cheap, free, I forget the name of the company, Fellowship Track League. We've handed people one of those tracks, and we've handed them a chick track, the comic book. Slip off somewhere and hide and watch. They read that chick track every single time. That's why we buy them. They work. And you know what every one of them have in it? The Word of God. Hey, we've got a I don't know, 500 or 600 of these things printed up. It says, come fall back into church with us on Sunday, November 2nd. We're gonna hand those out, but they ain't no gospel on them. But we got plenty of gospel tracts to go with them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you know what tickled me to see during the parade this year, the Gold Rush Parade? As we came back through town, I didn't see one individual that didn't have at least one gospel tract in their hand. Not one. How many? About 4,500, 5,000? About 4,500 gospel tracts got handed out during the Gold Rush Parade. You know what that is? That's that precious seed.
Amen.
That's that precious seed. We may never know what happens with it till we get to heaven. We may never know what happens with it till we get to heaven. I've told the story about the New York City bus driver. We had 130 teenagers. We had a street service on Times Square in New York. The bus driver that was driving our bus, no, he was driving another tour bus, and I just happened to walk by him, and I handed him a gospel tract. It was Jack Trick, Jack Chicks, This Was Your Life. He got that thing, and his eyes got that big around. He said, sir, can I keep this? I said, of course you can. He said, 20 years ago, right here, somebody handed me one of these. It was just like this, and I got saved. I said, wow. You ever went on Chick's website and read all those testimonies that they write in about people picking up those gospel tracts in public bathrooms and different places? Man, nobody ever knew who left that tract there. But God knew where they were. Amen. Somebody went forth weeping and bearing precious seed. Amen. The seed of soul winning is precious seed. And then there's the certainty of results. Bringing his sheaves with him. I'm just going to hit this right quick and we'll close. It'll work.
Yes, sir.
I promise you, if we have 100 people show up here Saturday morning and go out knocking on doors, I promise you, Sunday morning, you will see somebody get saved.
Yeah.
You said you're confident. Oh, yeah, I know it works.
Yes, sir.
It works, it works, yes, it works. It never fails. It works every single time. Amen. The certainty of results. How you know you're going to see somebody saved? Because we're going to go out and do what Jesus told us to do.
That's right.
And if we'll go out and do what he told us to do, he'll do what he said he would do.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And then there's the soul winner's joy. He said he'll come again with rejoicing. He'll come again with rejoicing. There's no joy like the joy of leading somebody to Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that a thrill? Old Jason got to lead his first soul to the Lord here a few weeks ago. You couldn't have knocked a grin off his face with a baseball bat. Fired him up. Old Michael came in off the bus. Him and Sister Stacy, I don't know where she's at. They had a little old girl cornered up out here in the parking lot. I slipped around the building, Brother Robbie. I said, is everything okay over there? He said, yeah, I think they're fixing to win her to the Lord. That was our kids. Old Michael come in the building and looked at me and said, yeah.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Yes, sir.
They cooked all them hamburgers and hot dogs Sunday. We walked out there on the playground and old Alex, I'll never forget him. If he never comes to this church again, I'll never forget that man. He has leaned up against that one of the big pecan trees back there. Him and his dreadlocks. Had on a black shirt and a white tie. I went over there and just put my arm around him. I said, Alex, I sure am glad you come today. He said, me too, preacher. Me too. Woo! Man, that's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
There's joy in what we're doing. There may be some tears to begin with. There may be some labor involved, but it'll end up with joy.
Yes, sir.
I promise you. Let's stand our feet tonight.